You have probably noticed that most meetings of Alameda Sangha end with something called the Dedication of Merit. Tonight, I want to take a look at what merit is, at least traditionally, and look at how it works in our lives and for others. When we meditate or practice loving kindness or act generously or help others, it has an impact on the world. It has an impact on us too. In traditional Buddhist terms, we're accumulating merit, something that fuels the continuing growth of our practice. Merit has been defined as a positive potential that arises as a result of acting constructively and which then ripens into happiness. Merit is not like a ledger of our good deeds that may earn us happiness in the future. In fact, the Buddha said that this happiness is an immediate result of acts coming from a kind intention. In the first verse of the Book of Ones, this was said by the Blessed One, "Monks, don't be afraid of acts of merit." Merit is another way of saying what is blissful, desirable, pleasing, endearing, charming. So, kindness feels good, and when we act out of it, we feel happy. This very old concept holds that our immediate happiness carries with it this positive energy that will lead to future happiness too. I'll admit that when I first heard of merit, I thought it was so much hokum. But I had kind of an intuitive sense that when we dedicate merit, I heard teachers do it for many years, something wonderful was happening. And this kind of happiness that merit represents is genuine. And it depends only on our acting from an intention to be kind to other beings and ourselves. A Pali word for this kind of happiness, which doesn't depend on any external things or events, is sukha. It's sort of the opposite of dukkha. Sukha arises during jhana practice, and it's totally delightful. Just as it is in our lives, when we act on an impulse that springs from an open, loving heart. I'm sure you've all had that experience where you just had an impulse to do something nice for someone, and you did it, and it felt good. Now, the word merit may have an unfortunate translation from the Pali word punna. Merit, I think, almost automatically makes us think of a scorecard that each person gets, as in, do you have merit as a human being? Do you merit being happy? So I hope that you can reinterpret the word merit to mean happiness that comes from and motivates acts of kindness. During this talk, I'll use the Pali punna occasionally, and also the words happiness, goodness, and benefit to try to erase the image of merit as a cosmic scorecard. For me, it's also taken some time for me to get past the cause and effect model of karma and to disentangle the concept of merit from good karma. It does exist, but that's not what merit is. And yeah, they're kind of related, but they're different. I've come to envision punna as a field of happy energy surrounding people. We don't spend it in exchange for more or other bits of happiness. It just automatically inclines us to go on acting kindly. And each such action accumulates ever more punna for us, which again motivates us to go on acting kindly. So it's a self-reinforcing progress of our practice. And by the way, this sheds new light on the maxim that it's unhappy people who are cruel, who act without kindness. If we can recognize this, then we can respond to them with compassion, which will bring us punya. When we accumulate a large amount of merit, we become what one sutta called a field of merit for the world. This accumulation of merit explains the awesome nobility that Tibetan monastics who cried for their Chinese torturers, because the monks and nuns' vast amount of merit let them be compassionate for the Chinese who were condemning themselves to so much unhappiness. It's awesome that they could do that, but it's an excellent example of how punna works. It's not just for ourselves that we're gathering this positive energy. As I said at the beginning of this talk, merit has an impact on us and the world too. And here's a poem from the Isatha Sutta on archery skills. Just as 100-peaked, lightning-garlanded, thundering cloud. Do you have that image? Raining on the fertile earth fills the plateaus and gullies. Even so, a person of conviction and learning, wise, having stored up provisions, satisfies wayfarers with food and drink. Delighting in distributing alms, give to them, give, he says. That is his thunder, like a raining cloud. Abundant rain comes back on the one who gives. Merit comes into being when we act with an intention to be kind. So the crucial element in punya is intention. And it's a great waste if we fail to recognize when we have this kind of intention. or fail to act on it. Many teachings urge us to be on the lookout for the intent to help others, to give, to meditate and study the Dharma, to refrain from killing, stealing, unwise speech, from abusing sexual energy or intoxicants. When such an intention arises, we're urged to go with it. Don't hesitate. We're reminded that mindfulness is subject to constant invasion by thoughts that aren't so noble. So we should act immediately on meritorious intentions before they're corrupted. The Dhammapada exhorts us, don't be heedless of merit, thinking it won't come to me. A water jar fills, even with water falling in drops, with merit, even if bit by bit, habitually, the enlightened one fills himself full. Ajahn Lee Damodaro said over half a century ago, if you let your original thoughts of merit die or disappear from the mind before you come to give a donation or observe the precepts or meditate, the results of that original intention won't develop. They won't develop into punna. He gave the example of deciding to meditate, but you don't do it right away, and something distracts you, and by the time you do sit down, that feeling of wanting to meditate has been replaced by a grudging sense that you ought to meditate. This grudging intention doesn't produce the supportive happiness that will nurture you and those around you. Here's a poem from the Book of Ones. When a man or woman has laid aside a well-stored fund of generosity, virtue, restraint, and self-control with regard to a shrine, the Sangha, a fine individual, guests, mother, father, or elder sibling, that's a well-stored fund. It can't be wrested away. It follows you along. Now, at this point, you may be wondering how to encourage those kind intentions to arise, since they're essential to begin creating this happy momentum. Well, metta practice is a wonderful way. It's a kind of merit bonanza, because when we say internally phrases of loving kindness, the generosity and goodwill that's involved in doing this produces merit, and it sows the seeds for countless opportunities in the future for more punna to arise. We're cultivating good intentions while being surrounded by and multiplying merit as we practice metta. Gil Fronsdell recommends appreciating your blessings. Even on a bad day, there's always something to be grateful for. Just being warm and dry and fed and clothed. We can also reflect on our own goodness, not in a selfish way that puffs ourselves up, but in a realistic recognition of when we've acted nobly and the contributions that we bring to the world. The Buddha highly recommended this exercise. In fact, monks came up to him and said, when we're not doing anything and we're not meditating, what can we think about that will be virtuous? And the Buddha said, contemplate your goodness. We can certainly appreciate our practice and the benefits that we get from it. And our Sangha, we have a warm, dry place to meditate with people who understand what we're doing and support us in it. People who want each other to grow in their own practice. You can also start by doing deeds which ripen into merit when kind intentions are present. That's kind of the act as if approach to meritorious intentions. Even if you're not entirely feeling it, give dana. Someone once asked what she should do if she felt reluctant to give. I thought that was a courageous question, and I thought about it for a while, and then I said, well, go ahead and give and bring an accepting awareness to how you feel before, during, and after giving. Be kind to yourself about your lack of enthusiasm and explore it and seek to understand it. Investigate if you feel better after giving than you did before. Is there any sense of release at the moment you let go of that money? Maybe have a chat with whatever attitude is blocking your generosity and suggest to it that it would feel so much better if it allowed giving to be satisfying. Imagine what that would feel like, to enjoy being kind in that way. And by all means, say metta for yourself. The teachings have their own list of things that produce metta, and there are old friends, dana, sila, or ethics, and bhavana, that's our practice. Here's another poem from the Book of Ones. Train in acts of merit that bring long-lasting bliss. Develop generosity, or dana, a life in tune through the precepts, and a mind of goodwill through practice. Developing these three things that bring about bliss, the wise reappear in a world of bliss unalloyed. Another way to phrase that last stanza might be, the wise abide in pure happiness. It's clear that merit in the Buddhist sense is very different than the common understanding of the English word merit. Treating others with the same gentleness, the same respect that you want to be given, isn't just a gift to them. And it doesn't send you to heaven or make you a good person. The making of punna is like summoning up a feast of life from your heart and sharing it with others. You get to enjoy it right at that time and reap future benefits because it will make you want to act kindly and generously and keep your practice growing. The Abhisandha Sutta on rewards says, there is the case where a noble disciple, that's us, abstains from taking life or stealing, lying, abusing sexual energy or intoxicants. in doing so, he gives freedom from danger, from animosity, from oppression, to limitless numbers of beings. In giving this freedom to limitless numbers of beings, he gains a share in limitless freedom from danger, animosity, and oppression. Now, when I end Sangha meetings, in dedicating the merit, I start by inviting you to appreciate yourself and the fact that you have done something that not many people do. You got yourself here, and you came here with the intention to practice, and you did. And you listened to the Dharma, and you discussed it with others. And all this time, you're supporting your fellow Sangha members in their doing these things. All of these actions generate merit, what in my dedication of merit I usually call the goodness of our practice together. Then I invoke the image of our merit radiating out to all of the beings that each one of us influence in any way, and from each one of them to all the beings they influence. And I also invoke the image of that process going on and on until the merit of our practice together that evening benefits all beings throughout space and time. Giving away the benefit of our practice is a very generous thing to do. It's probably the best thing that we can do for other beings. But here's the truly lovely thing about dedicating our practice, our merit, to others. It comes right back. That's the nature of generosity and the merit that pervades it. It conditions us to be kind, generous, and joyous in the future. So not only does dedicating merit multiply the happiness of beings throughout the universe, it simultaneously multiplies our own. All we need to do is recognize this. It says in the short sutta on the reserve fund, "So enlightened, you should make merit the fund that will follow you along. This is the fund that gives all they want to beings human and divine." Thank you.